Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. It's a great pleasure to say we are joined by Joseph Heumeier. He is among those who has most rigorously and helpfully assessed what is going on in our hemisphere in the way of national security challenges and opportunities. He does that in his day job as the executive director of the Center for a Secure, Free Society. He's also served in theater as well as in this hemisphere with the United States Marine Corps as an 8-year veteran, including combat tours in Iraq and Liberia. He is doing great work, not least through the publication of important works, including his book, Iran's Strategic Penetration of Latin America. Joseph Heumeier, welcome back. It's so good to have you.
Thanks, Frank. It's always a pleasure to be on.
Hey, before we talk about Iran, I want to talk about one of Iran's clients, shall we say, the regime in Venezuela of Nicolas Maduro. We've had an election there over the weekend. It's been widely described as unbelievably fraudulent and produced results lopsidedly in favor of the regime. Tell us what you make of what happened there and what is likely to befall the Venezuelan people next as a result.
Yeah, I think well, you described it accurately. It was a fraudulent election, but that really comes as no surprise. Anybody that's been paying attention to Venezuela really over the last several years knows that they hold the facade of elections, much like Cuba and North Korea and Iran even. They work the outcomes well beforehand, and they just present the outcomes on election night. So what happened Sunday, it was a gubernatorial election. It was basically mayors and governors of different provinces all throughout the region, all throughout the country. And what's interesting to me is the way that they selected the specific Chavista-leaning candidates is in a way that they support the segmentation of their military, the transition of their military. So it's basically, it's almost like a political strategy to support a military plan. And this is something that's been going on in Venezuela for at least the last 2 years. The Venezuelan military has restructured itself to look less like a traditional military with, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and looks more like regimental combat teams that are divided to control specific territories in the country. Now it looks like the governors, a lot of them with former military experience, are now controlling the political levers in those parts of the country as well.
So more of the same, it sounds like, which means more privation, more hardship for the people of Venezuela, and more opportunities for penetration and subversion from Venezuela by governments like that of the Islamic Republic of Iran. We've been talking in the course of the program about what these guys in Tehran are up to with their nuclear deal and in the Middle East. But tell us your latest findings. I understand you've got an important conference coming up about a month from now. Would you talk about what you're finding, Joseph, in terms of the Iranian operations in and from countries like our Venezuela in our hemisphere?
Yeah, so in about a month, well, like you said, in exactly a month, in November 16th in 2017, we are going to hold a conference here in Washington called the Western Hemisphere Security Forum. So it's going to cover a range of topics, but, you know, given our unique focus, given my unique focus on ties between Latin America and the Middle East, we're going to use this conference also as an opportunity to release a study that we've been working on over the last year about the ties between Venezuela and Syria. And what this paper is going to focus on, and, you know, and subsequently some of the conversations during the conference will focus on, is on a very longstanding and historical bridge that's being built between Venezuela and Syria, a bridge that extends beyond just diplomatic and economic relations, that really goes into familial clans, structures, clandestine networks, and fundamentally two governments, the Assad government in Syria and the Maduro / Chavista government in Venezuela, that's been snap linked to one another so that what happens in one part of the world directly affects the other part, and they can use the two as proxies for fundamentally who's destabilizing Syria, which is Iran and Russia. Iran and Russia, as they're destabilizing Syria, are also destabilizing Venezuela. And both countries are used as proxy elements to delegitimize the United States. So we're going to be talking about that at the conference, and we're going to release a paper at the conference that really focuses on that bridge.
This is fascinating and very troubling. In my commentary today, Joseph Humeyer, I spoke about this General Qasem Soleimani, who, as you know, runs the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps and is an agent of extraordinary, aggressive, violent behavior in all over the world, I guess now it's fair to say, including, of course, in Latin America. When you look at a guy like Soleimani, it's my recollection that he was implicated, as were the IRGC, which have now been, happily, finally, designated as a terrorist organization by President Trump, that he was actually plotting to engage in violent attacks inside the United States itself, notably in a restaurant in Washington, D.C., for the purposes of killing the Saudi ambassador. Have I got that right? And if so, what do you make of the fact that this base of operations in our region could be building for our security here at home?
Yeah, you are correct. You know, I don't know if Soleimani himself was implicated, but definitely the Quds Force was implicated in preparing an assassination plot against the Saudi ambassador here in Washington. They were using actually one of the proxies in Texas and who was trying to get access to Mexican cartel networks, and they unraveled the operation and they came to a real wire transfer of $100,000 that came from a Quds Force operative in Iran. So that was a real indictment, a real case, a real plot. I think what that case and essentially illuminated for everybody is that the Quds Force is already here. The Quds Force is in the Western Hemisphere. Most notably, they're in Latin America. They're in Venezuela. They have a tremendous infrastructure in Venezuela, and they've been there for a long time. And we have to understand, what's the Quds Force responsibility? What do they do? Well, you know, in a broad sense, they export the revolution. But how do they do that? They do it using unconventional warfare. They are the fundamental primary trainer of trainers. You could call them almost like the Green Berets of Iran, that go out and train surrogate states and surrogate nations. And so when you go to a country like Venezuela and you look at the police forces and you look at the security forces, the military, and you start to see some of their brutal, harsh, authoritarian tactics, you wonder where they learned that from. And it's very likely and probable that they learned a lot of that from Iran, particularly from the Quds Force, who trained these individuals both in Latin America and in Venezuela.
Yeah. You know, speaking of the IRGC and the Quds Force, one of the other offshoots of that sort of foreign legion, if you will, for the Iranian mullahs is, of course, Hezbollah. And Joseph Humeyer, you've been writing and warning for some time now about their presence in our own country as well as elsewhere in Latin America. Can you give us just a quick update on their status and the danger that they represent?
I'm glad you brought that up, Frank, because actually I want to call the attention to your listeners a very important case and I guess an important date that's going to come up very soon. On October 27th, a Lebanese individual in Peru who was arrested and accused and unfortunately not convicted of terrorism in that country may potentially be released from Peru. His case was actually appealed and brought to the Supreme Court of Peru. And the Supreme Court now has to rule it, put it on the docket to be able to rule it and try it again, because they decided that the non-guilty verdict of this Hezbollah operative's actions in Peru were warranted another look at, another review. However, if by October 27th, the Supreme Court in Peru does not put it on the docket, he's going to be a free man, and he probably most likely going to escape the country and be back in Lebanon. This case is, well, it's just one operative and one case. It's very important because it symbolizes what Hezbollah to me is far above and beyond most other terrorist groups, which is their ability to conduct reconnaissance and intelligence. And that's what he was. He was an intelligence reconnaissance operative. He came well advanced of a terrorist attack and plot 2 years in advance in reality. And he cased targets. He cased the country. He made the contacts. And to catch one of those individuals is almost like a gold mine. I mean, you know, those are very hard to catch. The very few intelligence operatives from Hezbollah ever get caught. And in the case of Peru, they actually got one. But unfortunately, the judicial system did not convict him.
Well, I hope we might get our hands on him at some point. But it really speaks to the point that they are here as well as elsewhere in our hemisphere. Joseph Humeyer, we have to leave it at that. I hope we'll have a chance to talk with you well before your important event at the Center for a Secure Free Society on the 16th of November here in Washington, D.C. We look forward to the fruits of it in any event, and thank you so much for the work you do. Keep it up, my friend. Kevin Freeman joins us next. We'll be talking with him about the reserve currency of the world and what it means for you and more straight ahead.
to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.